Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. Sorry, that was horrible. Wait, that was my voice cracking. We're talking about pubescent boys today and my voice just cracked. Wait a second. Okay. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
We haven't really ever approached the subject of bullying.
I don't think so. We maybe like touched on it.
I don't think we have touched on it.
Not anything fully, but it definitely needs a conversation.
It is timely given some circumstances.
Well, really, it's,
I mean, it's always timely
given our country. I mean, I think, honestly, for so long, bullying was talked about as a thing that kids dealt with. And really, it's a thing that a lot of people deal with. Kids, adults, doesn't really matter.
The fights going on Twitter are just so insane. I mean, it's a lifelong issue now. I mean, I guess it always has been. Bullying in elementary school, bullying in the workplace, bullying in social applications now.
Yes. I think the terms have just changed. Like when you think of a social media platform or online, you don't think of it as bullying. It's trolling.
It's trolling.
Right. So I think it gets diluted because of that. But at its core, that's really what all of it is.
Yeah. That is, yes, exactly. Well, insecurities lashing out is what bullying is.
Yes.
Yes. Projection. No, I know triggered is a overused word these days, but I was severely triggered over the weekend with a group of eighth grade boys. It brought back quite a bit of unpleasant memories and emotions that I experienced when I was in middle school, to the point that I was really, really overcome and said some things that were not okay.
said some things to the boys?
Most of them had already fled the room. So like one or two of them heard what I said, but I was just, I felt extraordinarily unsafe. That was the overwhelming feeling that I felt.
Unsafe in this, like,
this herd of
an actual
boys,
basically.
Pack of wolves. There were 14 of them. The intensity and the speed with which they swarmed around me was actually very scary.
And where was this?
This was at my friend's house. My friend has a boy who goes to lead a school, and he has started to run with this group of boys. So I have two friends
Gotcha.
Who have boys in seventh and eighth grade. They go to lead a school, and both of my friends' boys hang out in this group of kids who are notorious
Okay.
about with their bullying, name calling and making fun of people and ganging up pretty much.
So it's I'm not saying that this justifies it. So it's not just Lita.
No, it's not just her.
They treat everybody like
shit,
basically. They treat
quite a few people like shit, yeah.
Okay.
It's horrifying behavior. Over Halloween, Lita and her friend were trick-or-treating, and these kids threw candy at them. Like, literally threw candy at their heads while calling them names.
Like following them around?
I mean, it's so childish. It's so beyond childish. It reminds me, you know, like, I was a gawky, skinny, awkward, frizzy-haired eighth grader, and they used to call me Skeletor, and Bones Brigade was their nicknames for me because I was so skinny.
Wow. Yeah. I was kind of a chubby eighth grader, so it was the opposite for me. But I do relate. And you try your best to, I mean, it's always that advice, like ignore them and they'll go away. That never works.
No.
Ever. I mean, it sounds great, but it just doesn't work.
No. But what I did, like, I should have followed my own advice. my advice is to, well, I'm not even how, my advice doesn't really work in this situation because these are irrational eighth grade boys who don't understand any emotion whatsoever. It's all confusing to them. So even if I offered them compassion, they would interpret it as something weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially in the group.
Especially in a...
I mean, that's a really unique setting, I think, in general. Like, bullies on their own are a challenge, but when you have them in a group, groupthink takes over. And even if you have a couple members in there who maybe would appreciate that compassion, it would never come out.
Right. I mean...
And you know two of them.
I know two of them, yes.
Well?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And have you interacted with either of them individually in the past?
Yeah, so one of them is, he's not actively calling people names. He's just sort of standing by, letting it happen and laughing, and he's enabling.
Right.
He's not calling his friends out and saying, hey, that's not nice. He's...
Or finding different friends.
Right. So his mother's concerned, really concerned. I mean, this is a really, this is a different, like, I mean, the kids who bullied me in my eighth grade, they were nerds too, you know. It was basically a nerd calling out a nerd. These are boys who, they're like skaters. Skaters is a thing now again. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. It's a big thing now. And they've got the hair's back, the floppy hair, you know, the long floppy hair, the skater shoes. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That was, maybe it never went away.
Maybe it didn't.
Maybe Avril Lavigne was onto something. I didn't, I mean, Lexton is not a skater and does not have friends who are. So I guess I just haven't seen it.
Yeah. So most of these are these, I don't know if they're considered the cool kids. I don't know exactly, but yeah, I felt really unsafe over the weekend. My advice, I give a speech about having compassion for people who lash out at you online, people who leave mean comments or call me names or whatever. Like, they're working through something that's going on in their own personal life and they're choosing to take it out on me in a comment. Right. And
which is very typical bullying.
It's typical. And, you know, I end my speech by saying, you know, I'm so sorry that you're hurting. And if it makes you feel like, if you get 5 minutes of respite from whatever horrible feeling that you're experiencing by leaving a horrible comment on my Facebook page, I'm going to let you have that. You know, you can have that space because that is your coping mechanism. It's not healthy, but I'll give you that space instead of screaming at you or, you know, calling you out.
Right.
But that doesn't, again, that doesn't necessarily work with eighth grade boys.
No.
No.
And I think part of that is that there's no, at that age, because there's so much going on with these kids, just physically and emotionally.
Yes.
There's no real goal to the bullying. Like, they're not trying to achieve, it's not like, just for example, if Lita cried, they would stop. Like, they just do it. So there's nothing to accomplish. It's just a continuous badgering.
Right. It's just, they derive some sort of, I mean, those boys don't, I mean, they don't know themselves. And I think that that is for them, a very scary, I mean, it was for me. I mean, think back to seventh and eighth grade. Did you know who you were?
God, no.
Yeah, and I think I remember
it. I knew who I wasn't.
Right. But. It's a very scary, it feels like you're off balance. And I think that scary off balance feeling causes these boys to do what they do. I mean, I'm not saying it's a boy thing, but these particular boys, these boys, these specific ones, the way they were taught, and also, I do have a, I don't know, I'm gonna get in so much trouble. The way these boys were talking to me, I mean,
like the language or the delivery,
what are you talking about? the brazenness, the lack of respect. And this is the Southern, this is the Southern in me. I mean, my dad would have smacked me silly if I thought about talking to an adult the way these boys were talking to me. No one, never. I mean, most kids in the South are taught that. You don't speak to an adult the way these kids were speaking to me. And all 14 of them speaking to me, screaming at me.
Are we talking just like profanity, disrespectful?
No, no, it was like, it was just, see, you're doing it. You're doing it. I had called out a boy. He had been calling Lita names. And I approached him one night. This wasn't this weekend. It was a few weeks ago. I approached him one night at my friend's house and I said, "Hey, are you the one who's calling people names?" That's what I said. And he just kind of shrugged at me and I said, "Dude, it's not okay. Cut it out." And I shouldn't have done that. I absolutely should not have done that. Because he went and told all the other boys that I'm a scary person.
That you're a scary person?
That I'm a scary person, yeah.
Wow. Well, and then I imagine their way of dealing with you being a scary person is to come down harder on Lita, ultimately.
Right. Ultimately.
Whether they realize it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, then to come down hard on me, because I encounter them now at another friend's house, and they see me, and they actually come up to me, and they're like, "You're that crazy, scary person." And I said, "I'm crazy scary because I asked you to stop calling people names." And he's like, "I didn't do it. I'm not the one who did it." Yeah, maybe he does it a couple times, but I'm not the one. He's like screaming at me. And all of a sudden, all 14 boys joined in. And said,
but there's other adults there, right?
In there were.
Situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were just standing there.
Oh.
Yeah.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure where they're getting this behavior or where they're getting the idea that they can talk to someone like that.
I think they're totally guessing. But kids always push boundaries and test the waters. And if you don't ever have anyone pushing back, then you just keep going. And I was going to say that after, you know, they established you as the crazy, scary one, it makes me think no one has ever really checked them at all.
No.
So when no one has, and then all of a sudden, not a stranger, but, you know, a non-parent, someone who doesn't have a direct role in their life actually pushes back, it's really foreign because no one does that.
Yeah. And then this is the best part. This is so crazy. This whole scenario is so crazy to me. And then one of them was just like, "Oh man, you are a triggered old, what are you, in your late 50s? You triggered old lady." He called me a triggered old lady.
My God.
Yeah. This is a 13-year-old boy. Like, where does he get the idea that it's okay to talk to someone like that?
Wow.
Yeah.
I have not directly been around 13-year-old boys that are like that. I mean, probably when I was that age, but I don't remember it. Well, I wouldn't even know how to respond as a parent.
Right. So, again, the intensity and the speed with which they swarmed around me, I can't imagine how scary it is for those who are getting picked on at school to be around those kids.
Right.
I've talked to a couple of other parents of girls, and we're considering going and talking to the administration because it's just, I did not feel safe. I think part of a bullying situation, if you know it's going on, is to try to remove yourself from any circumstances where you're going to be around those people.
Right. But when there's 14 of them.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult to do that. And that is a large enough group to surround someone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they never have any intention of getting physical, if that never happens, it's still terrifying.
Right.
And you're fairly tall.
I'm taller than all of them.
Right. So I think about kids who are their height or shorter. And that's even more frightening.
Right.
So why, this is really a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why Lita? Like, what is there? Do you have any idea? Did they just randomly pick her? What's the deal?
I think they were making fun of her name. One of them, I don't even remember where it started, but one of them keeps making fun of her name. And then the other boys picked up on it. This is the thing. Lita has got so much going on. Right now, I feel so, And I swear to God, my dog, her obsession with barking at the front door is just going to become a regular part of the podcast. She's obsessed with barking.
It's a bonus feature.
Bonus feature. Lita has got so much going on. She had to try out for the play over the weekend, and then she had a recital, a piano recital, and then she had to play her piano piece in front of judges, a 13-minute piano piece.
Memorized, right?
Memorized, yeah. And then she's got these kids that she has to worry about at school. And it's so intense for her right now, and her emotion around it is really, really intense. And it's so hard. You can say, Lita, eighth grade is a horrible time for everybody, but that doesn't make it better for her.
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah.
It's so hard to watch.
Well, it's also challenging because I think Lita is, she's smart enough to be able to hear a comment about her name and kind of just let it blow over. Like, most kids can deal with that. Like, you hear one thing every so often and you just roll your eyes and you move on. But when it's this repeated badgering, It wears her down.
Right. Well, and now, like now they're, she has to deal with them calling me crazy.
Right.
You know, and I told her, I said,
taking that out on you.
Yeah.
On her, rather.
Well, and I said, Lita, I don't care that they think I'm crazy. And I'm sorry that they're saying that to you, but know that I don't care. If they think I'm crazy, I want them to think I'm crazy.
Yeah, if they think you're super crazy, maybe they'll just leave her alone.
I love my dog. I'm not going to hurt her. I promise. I just need to say it.
This is not a bullying situation.
Oh God, shut up, dog.
It was really eye-opening for me though, with Lexton, to be out. And I hear from time to time about kids at his school who are just mean to everybody, is basically how he describes it. And nothing has ever become regular enough that it's been really concerning to me. It'll just be something every so often. And I'll ask him about it, and he just rolls his eyes and says, no, they're jerks to everybody. Not that that makes it okay, but I think it means they're distributing that anger to enough people that maybe it's not super destructive to all of them. Mm. But we were out, we were at a Starbucks or something together, and a group of three kids walked in, two boys and a girl. And I noticed Lexton completely turn in his seat, like to put his back toward them. And I said, do you know them? And he said, yeah, those are all the kids that aren't very nice. And I figured I'm there, so it's really, it's not going to be an issue because I'm a parent. They sit at the next table and kind of make whisper comments while pointing at him. Right as I'm sitting God. There, like staring at them.
Are you serious?
And I can't, and I mean, what am I? I was just mostly completely at a loss because I can't imagine being that way. I remember being that age. I would not have done something like that in front of a parent.
Right.
I would have been terrified because that, I mean, I was raised to not do that. It kind of amazes me that there's no limit now. Maybe it's always been that way in some circles. I just never experienced it when I was younger. I don't know, but it's interesting. And he and Lexton actually made a comment that one of the two boys is nice when he's not in the group.
Peer pressure.
Yep. He said I talked to him at school and he's pretty cool. Unless he's with his friends.
Yeah.
So it's such a strange dynamic. And it's even more frustrating, especially right now, because you want to say, don't worry, it gets better when you grow up. Clearly it doesn't. Like, it just changes, but it doesn't get any better. It just looks different.
It is like my friend's kid has always been, his teachers have always been like, he's the nicest kid in class. He always sits next to the new person. He's always talking to the shy ones. And then now he's hanging out with these kids who are doing these pretty mean things. And he's not standing up and saying, you know, stop. And that concerns her. She's like, I don't want to lose him to that mentality. Because, you know, the first thing that people say to me about my kids is, holy shit, like, they're so polite. Holy shit. The first thing they say to me is, oh my God, like, they ask me how I'm doing. They say hello. They engage in conversation. They say thank you. They say please. You know, I've worked really hard at that. That's how I was raised.
Right.
So I know them. I know my that Lita would never intentionally try to hurt somebody. And all of this, like, I in sixth grade. Okay, fine. I was very, 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 very late to develop. If I ever really did develop, I don't even think I did. And in sixth grade, I was really self-conscious about the fact that I was so skinny and had not developed. And so my mother went and got me a padded bra. Except that the padding in the bra looked like it was stuffed. And so people immediately noticed it and called me names. And there was one day on the bus driving home from school. This is sixth grade. I had gotten on the school bus and I had a giant poster from a project I had done. And I stuck it up by the bus driver because it wouldn't fit in the seat and in the back of the bus. And when we approached my stop, I get up to get off the bus and everybody on the bus is throwing paper and tissue at me saying, Heather stuffs her bra, Heather stuffs her bra. And I get up to the front to get my poster and they have ripped it to shreds. And I had to leave the bus and then walk home with this ripped poster and this horrifying nightmare of an experience in my memory.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess not all Southern kids are good.
Well, clearly. But again, it's that group. It's the group think, the group mentality. Thing.
Yeah.
But you survived.
I survived. I still remember the ringleader. His name was Jason. Josh. His name was Josh.
Josh.
Mm-hmm. I still remember. He married his high school sweetheart. They're still there. They're still there.
Wow.
They're still there.
Have you had any communication with him since the bra stuffing incident?
No.
Too bad. Does Lita know that you were bullied?
Yeah.
Okay.
She does. I don't think that I can explain it to her, like, how horrible it was for me to live through that. I was afraid to go to school all the time. I was so awkward and shy. I didn't really have a core group of friends either.
The weird thing, though, I think it's a situation where her situation is so current and real.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds really cold, but it doesn't really matter what you went through.
Right, exactly.
Because it's over. Like, it's not a thing anymore, and it doesn't really help her get through her thing because she can't really see past, like, to that bigger picture down the road just because that's how it is.
Yeah, and I think when she got, like, in fifth grade and sixth grade, when she became close friends with a few of the kids in her class, I was really relieved that she wasn't coming home and talking about bullying situations, because I remember in fifth and sixth grade, especially in sixth grade, you know, having those, you know, the cool people were already established. The nerds were already established. Like, that didn't happen in Lita's fifth and sixth grade class. So I was sort of optimistic about her going. And last year was relatively eventless in terms of stuff like this. So I'm thinking, okay, she's made it through seventh grade. Like, maybe we're going to make it through middle school and, you know, maybe she's not ever going to have to, like, ever live through what I did. And then this happens. So, yeah.
It's just so fascinating to me, and that I don't mean that to sound like a positive thing, but that was why I asked if you had any idea, like, what the catalyst was.
Oh, it's just
because I always wonder what makes them latch on. Like, these kids, she's known these kids for a couple years. She's had the same name. Like, nothing has really changed. I just always wonder what makes them decide Lita's a target now.
Mm-hmm.
And not even that it has to be something concrete. And I know why all 14 of them decided, because someone decided it and they all went along. But it's weird. And, you know, you get those arguments that, well, one of them likes her, so they're going to pick on her. I don't buy that.
At Carvana, we're in the business of driving you happy. And with the widest selection of used cars under $20,000, you're bound to find a car that'll put a smile on your face. Carvana gives you control by letting you customize your down and monthly payments. You can browse tens of thousands of cars online to find one within your budget, and you won't get surprised with any bogus fees. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to shop for a vehicle. Carvana, we'll drive you happy. Availability may vary by market.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I don't agree with that argument, but I wonder what the catalyst is.
The swarm of boys has emerged this year. Very quickly, they all hang out together on the weekends. A lot of them are engaging in behavior they shouldn't be engaging in. And
like yelling at adults?
Illegal behavior.
Well, right. No, I know.
And so, because she asked me, she said, what happens if one of them approaches me in the hallway and says something to me? I said, well, Lita, ignore them. Don't look at them. Don't engage them. Don't acknowledge them. Just walk away from them. She goes, well, what if they keep saying something? What if they keep, like, what if they're in my face? I said, if they are pursuing you and are relentless, I want you to turn around and I want you to say, listen, you don't want to know what I know. Trust me.
That's what you talk. Oh, man.
No, I was like, I have to arm her with something to say, because I can imagine a situation where one of them is going to be relentless about, like, gonna try to make her, is not going to leave her alone until she says something. And I can imagine that scenario.
The more she ignores them, the less she cares, the more aggressive they'll be.
Right. And I was like, what can she say to disarm the situation? I said, just tell them, you don't want to know what I know. Trust me. And then turn around and walk away.
And that hasn't, I mean, we're recording obviously during the school day, but we're already a day into the week here. So that was a non-issue on Monday, I take it?
A couple of people came up to her and just said, oh yeah, your mom's crazy. And she just ignored them and just walked away.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that this whole thing will blow over, you know, in a couple of weeks. I'm choosing not to ever go to my friend's house if those boys are going to be there. I'm removing myself from a scenario when I'm going to run into the wolf pack.
Does that friend have a daughter that's Lita's age?
No.
Okay.
Neither of them do.
Was Lita ever friends with these boys?
That's the thing. So, so there are some mean girls. I think we've talked about this. There's a girl that actually posts stuff to Instagram to make other people jealous.
Oh, right, that girl, yeah.
Yeah. So my friend's kid, who is a really good kid, who has been praised as being really sweet, he transferred schools, and he's now going to Lita's school. And he's a skater. He's got the floppy hair. He's a really cute kid. But, you know, I even said to my friend, like, you're going to have to watch out for that, because he's got all the makings of the cute skater kid that all the girls like. Well, turns out that all the girls like him. They were sitting around talking, and Lita was near them around lunch one day, and they were talking. They were like, so and so and so and so. And Lita's like, him? Really? I know him. Like, I used to go to his school. And they're like, what?
Oh, wow.
You know him? She's like, yeah, it's just him. She's like, my mom is best friends with his mom. They're like, what? And so suddenly Lita became super cool. And they were passing in the hall one day, and he said hello to her. And those girls about died. They died. because he said hello to Lita. Yeah.
So they were not necessarily friends, but they were on totally fine.
Yeah, totally terms. Good terms. Yeah, absolutely.
Very strange. Mm-hmm. The teenage brain is a fascinatingly fucked up place.
Reliving it again, I think, is, I wasn't prepared for this. And I've been through years and years and years of therapy, but like it, this is dragging up memories and emotions that I have forgotten about, and I've forgotten completely about certain situations where I was totally bullied. But in reliving it through her is such a fucking ride, man. It's awful. It's so bad.
Well, it's all those things that you forget. Because in the big picture of your life, like the stuff that happens right now to her is not going to be a huge deal. But so she will just push it off, but then she'll have kids and they'll hit around that same age and possibly go through the same things. And all of a sudden it all comes back and you are just reminded of how absolutely shitty it feels to be in that position. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's terrible.
What I would give to be able to go back to eighth grade, knowing what I know now, to be able to sit there and go, I don't fucking care what you think about me.
Right. To really totally not care. Instead of acting like you don't, just right, to not
like
care.
To really not care. Like, you really are going after me. Do you know how little I care about that? Just like save your time and energy. Like to know what I know now back then. And I guess to have that confidence now, maybe I had to go through the fire of what happened then. And I'm hoping that this strengthens her character.
I think it will. I mean, I don't know. She seems pretty confident and well put together overall. And she's got you kind of helping steer her through this. So I think ultimately that will be the end result. But it's the actual getting there that is terrible.
Yeah. I was talking to right as I asked for a separation from John back in 2011, 2012, I was talking to a fellow friend who was divorced. And I was like, gosh, I don't want to fuck up my kids. And he was like, are you kidding? We're giving them so much character.
And that's what he said.
Yeah. They're going to be so strong.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's almost like, I mean, like you said, maybe you are the way you are because you went through that, but you still shouldn't have to go through that.
No.
And I think about it, I think I'm maybe hyper aware of it because, like I said, Lexton has kind of experienced it here and there with kids, but never in a really relentless way.
Were you bullied?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was one of those kids who kind of floated right in the middle. Like, I had a group of friends. I wasn't cool, and I wasn't not cool. I was just there. It was like I was the fat kid who was there. That was my role. Like, there were cool kids that I would say hi to, and they would say hi to me. But that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't ever, even for me, I guess it was probably similar to how it is for Lexton. Like, it was never relentless, but I always knew there were kids that didn't like me that would make occasional comments to me or, you know, bump me into a locker in the hall. Never, like, not weekly or anything, but it would happen from time to time. And it just served as this reminder that you're a worthless piece of shit. Like, it is. I mean, at that age, you're kind of like, you try to brush it off, but you start to look at all of the things that you perceive as wrong with yourself because of those events, and it just makes you feel terrible.
Right.
But I think because of how I was, like, my experience at that age, and then looking at Lexton now, I just become really hyper aware, and I have this list in my head, like, is he going to get picked on for that? Is he going to get picked on for that? Is someone going to say something about this?
Right.
And it's weird to think about that, but not want to reveal that to him because I don't want him to worry about it. And maybe no one will say anything. The current exam, and this seems super minor, but it's something that I think about multiple times a day. He's like 5'6" and not even 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Super tiny, thin. So he's like a size 12 in the waist and 16 lengthwise. But that doesn't work. Like, you don't have that option as a kid until you get into like men's jean sizes, which he's not there yet. So he's currently, he's got like, you know, half of his pants are just long enough. And then there's a couple pairs that are, they can't even pass for long enough. Like, even without sitting, they're well above his shoes. He doesn't care. He will put them on and not see an issue with it. But they're notably too short because I'm having trouble finding him pants that fucking fit in the waist and in the length. And I'm kind of waiting for the day that someone picks on him for it.
Right.
And they might never, and it's not a huge deal, but I just know that the kids suck.
Kids suck.
I mean, it's odd. Like, I just know that they're cruel. So I feel like it's not, now I have this weight on my shoulders. Like, I need to find this kid some pants that fit.
Right.
That needs to be my mission. Because I don't want it to get to the point where someone says something. But he's totally ready for the flood. I mean, he's there.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, like Lita's hair is long and it's got a very, very coarse texture to it. And it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. But I could see a boy looking at her hair and saying something to her about it because he doesn't understand hair.
Right. So we're like planning ahead for the bullying almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it might never happen. But from our experience, we just know what it's like, but you don't want to say anything. You know, it's not like you're going to tell Lita to do something different with her hair.
Right.
No. Because it doesn't make any sense.
No.
I mean, there have been times where I've told Lexton that she should probably change his jeans. It's like, why? I'm like, no, just the other pair is nicer. I don't know what to tell you. Because they're comically short.
You're like, why should you change your jeans? Because kids suck. That's exactly. The explanation. Kids suck.
Yeah. Your classmates are stupid, so you need to change them. It is, though, I think it's having that awareness that is what makes, that helps us be successful in what we're doing with them.
Yes.
Having that awareness and not necessarily acting on it, because you have to lead by example. Well, you have to try to lead by example.
I don't do very well with that in terms of, well, I'm glad she doesn't I'm glad she doesn't mimic my behavior when we're driving. By the time we've gotten to school, I have cursed like 70 times. Oh, I apologize every time. I just get so angry. But yeah, we do have to model the behavior and we do have to be there for them and be present and attentive and take into account their feelings. Like, it's so easy to say to her, honey, I'm so sorry that they did this, but you shouldn't care what they think. That does not make them feel better.
No.
That does not take away the pain.
Right.
Yeah. I'm giving her a space to like verbally process the emotion of what it's like to be called a name, you know, like, and to feel awkward around those kids, like giving her the space to process that emotion, like, I think is important for us to do as a parent.
Yes. Yeah. I think when they're bullied, I think the first step is to just acknowledge that it feels really awful. And there is that piece of reminding them that, you know, that it doesn't matter, that it can still hurt. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that they're worth any less or that they're what these kids are saying, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt.
Right.
And then I think it's really important. I mean, for one, to arm your kids with what to say or how to respond or how to not respond, but for them to also understand, you know, the appropriate path of escalation and how to go about it with as little friction as possible.
Yeah.
You know, like if something comes up, instead of immediately running over to the teacher in front of the whole group, you know, approach your teacher when they're not around. You know, find somebody to talk to try and, you know, kind of mitigate the situation. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is a step that a lot of kids don't like to take.
No, and I have to give her a lot of credit. I think she's like me this way. I mean, I experienced the awkwardness. I experienced the shunning and whatnot. And that didn't deter me from continuing to be what I wanted to be in those grades. Like she got straight A's for the second term in a row now in eighth grade. And she's still getting great grades. She's still raising her hand and answering questions in class. She had me sign a piece of paper this morning. I'm like, what is this? She's like, oh, I signed up for a writing contest. Like, it's not deterring her from being who she is. And that, I think, is what I'm proudest of most. Proudest of most.
Most proud of?
Most proud of. Proudest.
Well, I think that's really important. And I think ultimately that will probably make a bigger difference in the bullying than anything else.
Because I could see her wanting to shut down. Like, I don't want to do anything that will make somebody think. Because I remember, I was a nerd, and I remember I did have thoughts like, if I do this, that I'm even a bigger nerd, but I don't care because this is something that I want to do. I did have those thoughts, and she probably does too, but being able to overcome those thoughts and go like, well, I just really want to do this thing. So what? So what if they call me a bigger nerd? You know, right. I still get to do this thing that I love. I twirled the rifle in the marching band.
You twirl. That is awesome. Good for you.
I was the captain of the rifle squad.
Like the captain twirler?
I was the captain twirler. Yes, I was. And I knew that being, I mean, you should have seen the garb. Hold on.
Coco! Coco!
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do about this. It's just a whole bunch of dogs.
That's twice in one episode. That's a record, I think.
It's a pack of wolves. This is actually like the soundtrack to what happened to me the other night. You should have seen what we wore in the marching band, like these crazy boots and these crazy hats and these vests. Like I knew that I was just handing out like tinder for these kids to use to burn me alive.
Oh yeah.
But it didn't deter me because it's like, this is something that I really want to do. And it's going to look really good on my college application.
Oh, God. I was also in the marching band, so I'm familiar with those.
What did you play?
I played the flute for 6 years.
That's amazing.
I was as subpar as possible. But I did. I did it through all of middle school and through 11th grade. And then I quit.
Through 11th grade.
I think the only reason I was not ridiculed for my instrument of choice is because through that entire time, there was one other guy who played the flute. And he was cool. And we got along in band. So I think it kind of gave me a pass. Like no one picked on him for it.
Mm.
And we got along, so no one picked on me. His name was Dave. He was awesome.
It was Dave.
But the outfits were terrible with the hat and the fucking feather. Mm-hmm. Oh. And we had to march in the 4th of July parade.
Oh, wow.
In the wool suits with the hats. Yeah. It was awful.
I still remember the cadence of the between songs, I'm sure you did this too in the marching band, where the drums would play a certain cadence as you marched.
Oh yeah.
I still remember the main rifle routine that we did. If I had the rifle right now, I could totally do it.
I did not remember that cadence until you mentioned it, and now I can hear it perfectly in my head.
Right.
Over and over and over and over.
Marching band, yep. Man.
It's awesome. That is a regret I have. I wish I had not done that. Definitely, definitely wish I had not done that. And I was never any good. I think I really just didn't care. I don't know why I did it for so long. That's not true, actually. Both my brother and sister played an instrument very well. So I think I did it just because, and I was never good. Never good.
Yeah, I didn't do it in high school. I was in chorus in high school.
In chorus. So you had stopped twirling the rifle?
I stopped twirling the rifle because I played the clarinet in the middle school band. And then I just didn't want to do that when I got to high school. I wanted to sing.
And it was everything you hoped it would be.
So did you ever see the movie Whiplash?
I have not, no.
Have you heard about it?
I've heard about it, yes.
Is it J.K. Simmons? J.K. Simmons plays he's a conductor basically the director of the orchestra band at this school. And the movie is about his horrifying, horrifying tactics on the kids.
Like militant, right?
I mean, militant, he's throwing things, hitting things.
Right.
And in particular, one of the kids. And it's really hard to watch. It's extraordinarily difficult to watch. I watched it on a plane and I had to get up 3 or 4 times because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And in fact, I was watching other people watch it and they were like jumping out of their seats. It's really brutal. The guy is a maniac. And my choral teacher was that man.
Like, oh, wow.
He used to single out, talk about bullying. He would single out somebody who would sing a wrong note, and he would make them stand up in front of the entire class and sing the whole song by themselves.
Oh, good Lord.
Over and over and over and over again. And he would stop them in the middle and go, "You're flat there. Start over again." Yeah.
People like that are assholes.
He was a perfectionist. Sorry. We won national competitions, and he was determined. Yeah.
I mean, those methods work, but there are other methods that work where you don't have to be a dick. I mean, I don't know. The one thing, and I don't know where this quote is from. I think I heard it from my mom growing up or my dad or something, but the one thing that I always tell Lexton when there's anyone at school or elsewhere who's being slightly unsavory, I say the people who care don't matter and the people who matter don't care. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help. I think he's now at a point where he gets it. It doesn't make it any better. And I don't use that as like my only comment, but I always will throw that out there. Like, just remember, the people who care don't matter and the people who matter don't care. Mm-hmm. Because it is very true forever.
It's true forever.
Or I want it to be, at least. I don't know.
When you come into the fullness of that realization, it's so freeing. It's so freeing.
Yes.
Yes. But you just can't have that when you need it the most as a kid.
No, but I think that's how you get to that point. Like, you suffer through being a kid and then realize that all of a sudden. Maybe if you don't suffer at all, if you go through and you're totally fine. Like, if you're one of the cool kids and life is great all the way through high school and you don't establish that as a base, it's got to be a really hard reality to figure out that people are garbage. I mean, it has to be. I was already well aware of that fact. But to not realize that until you're older, that'd be rough.
Not that staying in your hometown is a bad thing. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But all of the popular kids are still back in my hometown. They're still there.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's not a fun place.
It's not a bad thing. It's just
it's not a bad thing. It's not a fun place. Like, I would never live there in a million years. Never.
You don't want to move back?
No.
You sure? I don't know.
There's one girl who was homecoming queen and class president in my sister's class. And she still lives She still lives back in Bartlett. And my sister had contacted her a few times over the years, and all she does is talk about what it was like in high school, because high school was basically the pinnacle of her existence. It's all she talks about.
Right. Well, they're the people who peak.
Yeah.
In high school, like the Uncle Ricos. I mean, that is essentially what it is, right?
Yeah.
To each his or her own, I guess, is what I will say.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to live there.
To live there as you swallow hard just to get that out. There are worse things, right?
There are worse things.
Like mm-hmm. dealing with a pack of 14-year-old boys, 13-year-old boys.
Yeah, so bullying, and we're now face to face with it. Face to face, actual in-person bullying taking place. Yeah.
To an adult, which is so strange to me. I can't. Yeah. What a wild world. They're just following the example they see in the leadership. That's all. It's really all it is.
If my kid were doing that, she'd be like, shut the fuck up. No.
Yeah. If you want to.
I know. She did ask me, and I will totally admit this. One of those kids was on Snapchat and put up a spoiler for Stranger Things. And it ruined Leah's day. It ruined her day. She was so mad about it. And she's like, what do I say to him? I'm like, you don't have to say anything to him. She goes like, I want to say something to him. I said, well, tell him that wasn't a very, tell him that was not a nice thing to do. Like, at least put spoiler alert. Like, do something. Like, that wasn't a nice thing to do. So she was like, dude, that was not cool. And he wrote back, yeah, whatever. And she's like, what do I say to that? I said, just ignore him. She's like, no, I want to say something. And I'm like, tell him he's being a douchebag.
Oh my God. You did not. Are you serious?
She's like, seriously? I'm like, well, that's what I would do. And I'm not encouraging you to do that, but that's what I'm thinking right now. Ugh, stupid eighth grade boys. Ugh.
Did she do it?
No, she did not.
Damn it.
I know.
I mean, that's good that she didn't, but I would have gotten some satisfaction out of knowing that that was how she responded. Maybe that is the secret. With this wealth of knowledge, it is now up to us to arm our kids and fight through them with the bullies.
Exactly.
That's what
it is. The words you use. Douchebag. Ass face.
ass face, yes. That one I don't recommend.
No.
Oh, man.
No. Wrong approach.
But it's a great approach to think about.
Ooh, satisfying to think about that, yes. Mm-hmm.
God. And maybe that's how we end this, is coping with your kids coping with bullying. That would be a good method.
There you go. Coping with your kids coping with bullying. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the title of this episode.
Yes. Coping with coping.
Coping with coping.
Look at that.
We would love to hear how you're coping with your kids coping with bullying, and what are your tactics for handling it, for teaching them how to handle it, for teaching them how to process it. Have you been bullied by a pack of wolves?
Yes. Or even if you've been bullied as an adult, how did you deal with it? Mm-hmm. I mean, we really focused a lot on, you know, being 13 and being bullied, but you know, all bullying subjects are up for grabs.
We would love
especially
to hear
if you
your
have strategies.
Yes, good strategies. We'd love those. Send your strategies to stories@manicramblings.com. And you can find us online at Manic Ramblings on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And until next time, don't encourage your kid to call somebody an ass face, even if you really want to.
Or a douchebag, probably.
Douchebag. Yeah. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.